Hello, everyone, and welcome to the JavaScript for WordPress show. I'm educator Zach Gordon, and in this show, I talk with influencers in the field of WordPress and JavaScript about how they've learned JavaScript deeply and their advice for all of us. Now, our guest on the show, I am very excited to have. We met for the first time at the first ever WordCamp DC not too long ago and had some great discussions about implementing JavaScript, learning it, and all of that. So I have wanted to get her on the show for a while. Not only does she have experience freelancing and working on her own, running her own business, but she's also worked as a front-end dev at CrowdFavorite, working on a number of different projects that involve JavaScript. So she has some great experience from that as well. So with that short little introduction, let's welcome onto the show, Deepti Bonapati. Deepti, say hi.
Hi, everyone. It's great to be here.
Ah, so excited to finally get you on. It was great meeting in person, and we had some great talks about JavaScript that hopefully we'll unpack and get into all of that. But for folks who don't know you, can you tell us a little bit about yourself outside of your work in WordPress and JavaScripting?
Okay, so outside of work, I live and love Austin, Texas.
Hoorah.
And yeah, it's awesome here. And moved here 4 or 5 years ago. And, you know, I hike with my dog. I have a little dog. She's only 10 pounds, but she can go for like 8 miles a day.
Wow.
Yeah. So she has a lot of energy. So we go on hikes to keep her entertained and to tire her out. But other than that, I love the outdoors, love nature. And that's what I do when I'm not coding or doing WordPress stuff.
Well, that sounds like a pretty great balance. For those of y'all who haven't been down to Austin, you're missing out. Great town, both inside Austin and outside of it. Some great nature around it, a really cool city and vibe all around. So glad that you're there enjoying all that and getting outdoors. Reminder to folks, please step away from the computers from time to time and decompress in the lovely nature, right?
Exactly, yeah.
All right, so before we jump into the JavaScript, let me just do a quick plug for my JavaScript for WordPress Master Course. This is a huge project I've been working on for a little while now, and if you're interested in learning JavaScript deeply, both vanilla JavaScript, the WordPress REST API, getting into frameworks, and all of that, please check it out at javascriptforwp.com. All right, so with that little plug, let's get in our JavaScript time machine and go way, way back to your very first lines of JavaScript. Deepti, do you even remember your first lines of JavaScript?
I actually do because you know, I started programming professionally like in 2015.
Okay.
So it's been 2 years, and I know when I first started learning, you know, all this stuff. So I remember my journey very well because it's only been in the last 4 years that I've been doing this. So, yeah. And I think, no, the first lines of JavaScript for me were definitely jQuery.
Okay.
Because I was always a web developer. I wanted to be a web developer. I was working as a web developer. So I think most web developers do jQuery first because it's a really useful tool set for what we need to do for, you know, web pages and everything. So totally. I remember taking course. I think I took a Team Treehouse course on jQuery.
All right.
Good
platform.
You know, good, great way to learn.
Yep.
Exactly.
Cool. Okay.
So that's what I started with. And, you know, that also helped me learn how to read developer documentation. That was the first developer docs I ever read. So jQuery's docs. So that I remember that very well as being my first JavaScript.
Wow, very cool. Okay, so coming into jQuery, which I think is not too uncommon for folks, right? They might see JavaScript and not even know that they're looking at jQuery until they learn to recognize the little dollar sign or jQuery and dots and things like that, right? So. Okay. You knew that you kind of had to learn, you were getting into the web development. Everybody has to pick up a little bit. Head over to teamtreehouse.com, some jQuery videos there to get up and running. But you also mentioned something really important, which is reading the documentation, right? And jQuery has some pretty decent ones. And did you get to a point eventually, just by familiarizing yourself with it, where you could start to learn new things or troubleshoot or figure things out based on your comfort with the documentation?
Yeah, definitely. You know, being able to read the docs and understand them and like think, okay, so I want to do this kind of effect. Is there something for this? Is there a function for this? And then being able to read through and say, okay, so there's the dot click, and then there's these parameters, and this is how it's structured and it works. I mean, that just opens up a new world for you. Yeah. And if you can read documentation, nobody has to show you anything, or you don't have to, you know, be taught anything. You just read the docs and you know how to do it. Yeah.
You know, once you have some documentation literacy, picking up new things gets easier and easier, doesn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. So one thing I noticed was, so when I first started out with web development, I was complete beginner with programming. Okay. I had barely passed programming 101 in college, freshman year. Okay. So I was like a C student for programming. But so I started doing this and you know, picking up web development, you know, putting together sites with plugins and everything. And I was just, these were WordPress sites, and I was just so frustrated. I was just so frustrated because I couldn't guarantee anything. I couldn't, like, nothing made any sense to me. And like, you know, just doing it with plugins for me, it was just like, you know, a black box.
Yeah. Yep.
You can't peel back things and understand how they work and fix them or, you know, be sure about what you're doing. So I was super confused by WordPress when I first did it. And then I stepped away and I learned actual programming, and then I learned like JavaScript. Well, okay. I learned jQuery. I learned HTML, CSS, how to build like just static pages. Yep. And with jQuery, I learned how to read documentation. Then on my second go around with WordPress, which was like a year after that, it took some time. I was able to read the WordPress docs. And that's actually how I learned WordPress. All
Very
of our docs.
Interesting. Wow.
So, yeah, I guess one thing is one kind of competency in programming or in anything, maybe one kind of competency helps in every other field. I mean, just learning how to do something with jQuery helped me learn how to do WordPress stuff as well. So
it's so translatable from one thing to another. And I want to pull out one little thing you kind of glanced over, but I think it's an important point for folks getting started, which is that you kind of took about a year to learn all of these skills, right? And really get comfortable before you then were back in WordPress. And I think that that's something that's important to remember, like to really learn programming and to learn even just jQuery can take some time. It's not necessarily a weekend endeavor going from 0 to 9. And I'm guessing that you were kind of picking up jQuery along with other skills, probably more advanced CSS, and then eventually your WordPress learning and your extended JavaScript learning, I guess, all kind of work in tandem. And were they kind of evolving together? Were there certain points where you realized, oh, I got to focus more on my CSS or HTML skills, maybe now my JavaScript, maybe in the WordPress context, oh, shoot, now I got to learn PHP. Was that... what was that mix like for you?
So one good thing is that in Austin, we have a community college that's really low cost. So I knew for going into this, I knew I had to learn the fundamentals, because learning the fundamentals for me is just a bottom-up process instead of like, you know, trying to gather everything and understand it from the outside in. This was like from the inside out. It just seemed more simple. So one thing I would have never, ever have sat down and learned was the fundamentals. Like, they're boring. I'm never going to do it. But I went to school for it for, like, just, you know, a couple classes here and there. So there I learned C++. I would never do this on my own. I don't have the discipline to do it. But, you know, just taking a cook, you know, one course or two courses, it's easy. It's easy to stick to something if it's just for like a semester or two. Yeah. And also it's easy to do something if someone's expecting you to do it. So that's what I did. It took me a long time. I had to learn the fundamentals. One really, interesting or pivotal moment for me was 6 months into this. I'd started learning end of 2013, and you know, this is like 2014, early 2014, and you know, I did my first hackathon.
Okay.
And I learned a ton in that hackathon, but I also had a teammate who said to me, who looked at my code and he was like, "This is terrible. Mm-hmm. Do you even know how to program?"
Oh gosh.
And wow, I didn't know what to say to him at that
point.
Didn't
hold back, did he?
He did not hold back. He did not. But you know, partially. So I think he's right. You know,
at
that point, I didn't know how to program. But on another like dimension, after I went back and looked at the code, I was like, you know what? This is better than anything I've written so far. So it's not great, but it's better than what I did before. And if I keep getting better, one day I'll be good enough because all I can do is improve. So a lot of people think, oh, it's 6 months, you know, it's 6 months in and I still don't know how to program. I should quit or something like that.
Yes, but people get that feeling for sure.
They do. But it really takes time. It takes a long time. That's okay. And yeah, just have to stick to it.
Yeah. You know, for a lot of folks, learning a new language that was spoken, for instance, you know, wouldn't necessarily feel comfortable after a couple months being dropped off in a place where none of their native tongue is spoken and just have to rely on this. And the same is with code. And then there's learning the styles of it, right? Because then there's coding cleanly, there's coding beautifully, there's not just putting a hot mess under the page, especially with JavaScript. It can get a little spaghetti-y with jQuery if you're not careful. Mm-hmm. But that, I think that that's all a good reminder for folks. So let's kind of keep moving with this. You went back, you learned some of the fundamentals, you dug deeper into the, you know, basics of the language, you start getting into WordPress. What kind of work and projects were you doing, and what role did JavaScript play in these? Was there ever a point where you're like, oh, now I need to go learn more jQuery to do this? Or was it just kind of once you had the basics, you could kind of do what you needed?
Yeah, so even now, so a lot of what I do with jQuery in particular is, you know, just effects and sliding and showing and all that stuff.
Okay.
And if I get into actual JavaScript, probably we're doing things like input validation, or at least, you know, messages about input. Also, we're getting into things like transients and you know, nonces and checking about, users' intent and everything.
Yes.
In WordPress, at least. And we're also checking for, like, filtering and all that stuff. You know, we can also use JavaScript to help with searching in WordPress, at least,
yes,
or showing different pages and such. So jQuery, once I learned the basics, it still took me a while. What actually was the biggest stumbling block was I actually didn't understand a lot of the event-based nature of JavaScript at that point.
Yes.
I didn't understand that, you know, a lot of this stuff, you know, how the events, you know, pile on top of each other, how they kick each other off sometimes. And also, you know, I would try to set something up and then it wouldn't work. And I wasn't realizing that the trigger event had already passed by the time I'd initialized. Things like that.
Yes.
Things like that. So learning JavaScript made me better at jQuery.
Totally. And you bring up such a good point. And a lot of folks don't realize until they dig in deeper, like the DOM and the events are technically an API, not actually like, you know, real vanilla JavaScript part of the language itself, more an interaction with the browser. And whole new things come up. The lifecycle events, you know, adding events on the fly after they've already been created is a whole thing. So that makes sense that at a certain point, you're like, okay, let's understand these fundamentals here. And I think that that's so common, right? We learn and we start coding some JavaScript jQuery without understanding the whole events architecture and lifecycle and everything mm-hmm. around that. So let me ask you, how did you pick that up? Did you go to some JavaScript documentation somewhere? Not that a true JavaScript documentation exists. Were there courses that helped you with that? Did you just have to ask somebody or knew? Or how did you approach that once you realized you were in a situation of not really comprehending how everything fit together?
One big thing was I picked up a project for, you know, just a fun project for myself. I wanted to build an application that scheduled your schedule up and stuff for a couple days or a couple weeks. So in that one, I did it with JavaScript. So that helped because I'm not the kind of person who just sits down and learns theory just by itself. I have to implement it as I'm doing it to learn it well. Gotcha. So having a project really helped in that sense. Other things that I did, I did a bunch of courses for it. I mean, I just watched a bunch of online videos. Like, yours wasn't out yet. JavaScript for WordPress wasn't out yet. But I think I did, maybe I did like JavaScript 30 and maybe, and I read a bunch of books about JavaScript, some O'Reilly books about
okay,
it too.
Cool.
So that helped. But having a project that I was kind of gnarly, even though it wasn't like a paid project or anything, it was a fun project. I was motivated to do it because I found it fun. So yeah. That helped a lot because without that, I wouldn't have kind of hit the limits, you know, of JavaScript or what I knew about JavaScript and tested them and been pushed to learn more.
Totally. So I love this, that this came up as an example, because I think this is a great idea for people. And I'd almost steer them a bit more towards your path. You know, a lot of times you hear in the WordPress community, oh, if you don't know something yet, take on a project to learn it. And in general, I think that that could be good at pushing us. Sometimes dangerous with JavaScript, because you may find yourself, especially if just getting started and still mm-hmm. in more of the jQuery world, getting in over your head quick. So I love that you had something personal that was fun that also allowed you to push the boundaries. And I'll also highlight for folks who are here and watching videos, maybe some courses, reading books. All of this stuff is so fundamental. And I'm curious too, because I know that you've progressed since then. When you go back and read the same thing or look at the same thing now, do you have like a whole different level of understanding about how events and DOM are working and JavaScript and things like that?
Yeah, actually, a big driver for the change of how I look at events is WordPress in and of itself, right?
Mm, a great example. Yeah, please
right.
continue.
WordPress is an event-based, you know, architecture. I mean, our hooks and filters pattern, all
yep.
of that, that's events. That's an application of a design pattern called the observer pattern. And, but, you know, all of this stuff is not something you need to learn first, I think. For me,
yep.
I learned WordPress first. I learned about hooks and filters first. Then I went back and there's this great book. It's called, what is it? It's about design patterns. Head First
yeah.
into Design Patterns for Programming. Yeah. And so that I actually read months after I got into WordPress and I'd already developed like a plugin or two. and that really helped me understand, you know, but I don't know if I would have understood it the other way around. I mean, it's so abstract, but this helped me like concretely understand it, you know, specific examples. Okay, if you did it this way, it worked out. If you did it this way, it didn't. And
yes.
this helped me just solidify that knowledge. But yeah, so doing WordPress events or WordPress's or understanding how events work in WordPress helped me understand how events work in JavaScript. And vice versa.
Yeah, that makes total sense. WordPress is a very events-driven system if you've gotten into the actions level and, like you said, looked at the life cycle of how things occur. It is observing. But the other thing that you mentioned, which I think is really significant for this discussion of JavaScript, is that after a certain level, when you learn the fundamentals, then you begin to get into design architecture. And design architecture is so fundamental for programming anything in scale, but I think particularly for JavaScript, because a lot of things could go wrong with the plumbing if it isn't working right and can take a really long time if it's not built well. So I love that you got to the point where then you're beginning to make sense of design architecture. And yeah, you can't really, you could jump to that point and hear that, but if you don't have the programming background, it doesn't really make tangible sense and you're not thinking through your head, oh, here's why mm-hmm. this didn't work. I get it now, right?
Exactly.
So let me ask you this. You've had some experience taking on your own projects, some of them, you know, jQuery, JavaScript. You've also worked at a fairly large agency and well-known crowd favorite in our WordPress community here. Could you talk a little bit about either what JavaScript skills you had to have in place to go work at an agency like that, or maybe how projects were different from what you take on personally versus there? And I'm not making any assumptions. Maybe you take on more JavaScript in your freelancing, maybe ease away from it to make projects simpler. I'm just curious about your two experiences there with that and what that took for you.
Okay. By and large, personally, or in my own freelance projects, JavaScript has always been jQuery. And it's always been cosmetic. It's always just been, you click this and this thing opens up, you know, something like that, which is important, but mostly cosmetic. At agencies or at the scale of projects I was working with at CrowdFavor, it was very rarely cosmetic, and mostly was for things like, it was interacting with the APIs, or it was doing AJAX requests. Mm-hmm. And it was very heavily geared towards that. And the interesting or difficult thing about doing JavaScript at that scale is that, JavaScript's always changing. Things are always changing. Not even JavaScript. In web development, everything is always changing, right? One big thing that would happen would be, like, we would be sourcing information from some API, like Facebook's API or Twitter's API, and then their API, they would change it. And then everything would be gone, right? Or we would have to go in and figure it out and change it ourselves, or change our code to fit theirs. There would be some sort of bug that was a long-standing bug, and we didn't really, we couldn't really pin down why. And it's this interplay between AJAX, the DOM on the front end, AJAX, and what, you know, the JavaScript's getting from there, and the rendering of, you know, WordPress rendering in the back end, you know, and that events cascade, you know, and what's happening in WordPress is events cascade. And so there was a really interestingly nitty gritty interplay of two event cycles that are just kind of going and, very hard to debug, actually. I would say that I think the nature of the observer pattern makes it really hard to debug it, because it's not a linear thing. It's not a procedural thing. It's very free form. And if something doesn't hook where it's supposed to, it's much harder to track down what's not hooking. It's much harder to trace that, you know? Yeah.
Wow. So definitely, I mean, some big differences between some jQuery cosmetics, which would, you know, be great for most clients, to like heavy duty AJAX dependencies in an app and having to track through where something is failing. And then depending on the data that's coming in addition to what you're writing, having to modify it. That sounds like a lot more heavy lifting and complex scenario. I'm curious, when you were kind of stepping into this, how did you learn what you needed to know, right? Because this is maybe not something that you were encountering on such scale or maybe with such frustration before. Were there resources that you dug in deeper? Was it colleagues and people that you could ask? Kind of what did you do to figure all this out? Because I'm guessing it happened pretty quickly and there was a scramble to make sure that you understood everything as best you could.
You know, a lot of this is it's hard for anybody to help, because if you had figured out the solution, or if you could help, you'd already know the solution, I guess. You'd have already solved the problem. But I think, the first time I did it, I think what helped me was really just going through it systematically and patiently. And, at that point, I wasn't super good at debugging tools. I thought I was good, but I wasn't this good, at debugging tools, like using Chrome Dev Tools. And on the WordPress end, you can also use error logs and everything to output, or you can use WP CLI, or you can use other profilers to do it too. And so I hadn't gotten super great or super proficient at that time, but just approaching it systematically, figuring out, okay, this is doing this, testing each part as it went along, and ensuring each part worked, and then kind of doing kind of an elimination, just going through and just eliminating each one as the source of the problem, which finally got us to the problem. But, it took me like one or two times of doing this until I figured out, okay, so this is usually what happens. And, first check what Ajax is sending back, and then, check what WordPress is doing with it. And those are the two likeliest causes of the problem and stuff. It took me a while till that clicked, but it was just approaching it systematically. That was all I could do the first two times, and that worked out. Yeah.
Stay calm and take it step by step. Good advice in a lot of areas. So glad you have that approach. And I'm so glad that you brought up tools for debugging, because that becomes a huge part of JavaScript once we move past cosmetics and do need to troubleshoot things and tracking stuff down. Did you ever take any courses or read specifically on what was capable in terms of debugging or tools around that in JavaScript, or was it just kind of you dug deeper into what you were already working with and found more there?
Yeah, for me, actually, it was just like rifling through the the tabs in debugging tools and being like, oh, okay, this would have been easier or something, So actually, that's mostly it. And with WordPress stuff, the profilers like Query Monitor and stuff, that was just, I don't know who turned me on to Query Monitor, but a lot of this stuff is also just like, I go to a lot of WordPress community events in Austin, and I learn from other devs. So a lot of this is just osmosis.
Yeah.
So that helped a lot too.
It's sometimes hard to tell where one person's learning ends and another's begins, right? It does get kind of fluid, especially if you involve yourself in a community as you have. Maybe we can use this as a little bit of a springboard, talking about tools into new stuff with JavaScript, more complex stuff. Obviously, since the REST API has become more prevalently used and in core, we hear more about JavaScript-driven development, more about using frameworks for UIs in WordPress. Is this something that you've come across in your work or playing around with?
With the REST API and using frameworks and all that, one thing is I actually did implement a version of VanillaPress, right? So... Yeah, I think I tweeted that at you when I did it, and it worked, actually. It worked great, and the whole thing was, we just wanted to see if this would work, and it was one page that showed several, like, posts or several pieces of data, and instead of like reloading the page every time or anything, we just queried the API, and it was much easier for us to do it that way rather than render in PHP. It was just easier to do it in JavaScript. And so that was one way we did it. And for me, right now, if I want to learn a new thing, I just read the code that other people have written that kind of does that and follow along and figure it out and then just, you know, re-implement it, you know, in this specific case. So it helps a lot to be able to read along understand other people's code and just follow along with other people's stuff. And that's how a lot of what I have learned about the REST API has come about, because it's still a new thing, and there isn't a lot out there, but people are definitely programming in it.
Nice. So again, just to hammer home, folks, get comfortable reading documentation, get in there, try to understand what's going on, play around with it, experiment, get familiar, because there definitely is a style to documentation and good docs and being able to jump in there. Yeah, the REST API docs, not the maybe most extensive if you don't already know how to work with an API, but I think more and more resources on that will hopefully come and get more comfortable. So today with JavaScript, there's a lot going on in the world of JavaScript. Is there anything that's exciting you now or that you want to pick up or dig deeper into or play around with?
Definitely React is something that I have wanted to get deeper into, that I've been playing around with and understanding. Still not completely there yet, but to me, the components-based stuff, it makes it's so much more logical to construct something with components, like a page with components, and just have, you know, behavior tied to a button or a set of form fields or, you know, a bunch of pictures or something like that, rather than to structure it the way we do right now, which is just you have the HTML output, and then you have the JavaScript output with events, and you would use jQuery to pull out that specific DOM object, and you hook an event to it. But, you know, thinking about it as each DOM object being also an instance or like a component or its own object is, I think, a lot more simpler.
Yeah. I like that approach too. I think React's a smart one. It does have that component architecture. Even in our master course, we've even begun to build vanilla JS projects, you know, single page apps and stuff in that model. And I think it does make a lot of sense and is great for portability, et cetera. And with that said, I'm going to do a quick plug here again for the JavaScript for WordPress master course. A lot of the stuff that we've been talking about is in there. Hours of videos on the API, how to use them, this component architecture, all of this good stuff. Get comfortable debugging more complex projects. So if you want to learn more about JavaScript and WordPress, check it out at javascriptforwp.com. All right, so with that plug out of the way, let's get to the big juicy question here, which is, what does it mean to you to learn JavaScript deeply? And how does somebody even know if they're doing it or how far along they are on that path?
Well, one thing is to me, learning it deeply means that, you know, when you're working on a project, you know, you're going to put out something and it's not going to be perfect. Right. but the whole idea is you're recognizing that there was something you kind of guessed at, something you just kind of pushed out. You didn't really understand how it was working. And then going back and trying to understand it on your own time, when it's possible. So for me, learning JavaScript deeply means you're not just going from project to project, you know, guessing the whole time. You're doing what you need to do to finish the project, but then going back and understanding what you did and, you know, doing it better the next time. And I think that's a big thing. And how do people know if they're learning or they're on the path? I think if you're a web developer, it's very common for you to probably start with jQuery, and then you should probably, you know, go into learning how JavaScript works. Are you learning, or are you looking at the Mozilla docs? Are you looking at, those are great. are you just going by jQuery, or are you copying and pasting code mm-hmm. from, you know, Stack Overflow or something? I mean, you can copy and paste, just understand what you're doing first when you're doing it. And also I think another thing is like, you know, can you think of several solutions to this problem? You know, whatever you're doing, can you think of several solutions? Are you learning the inheritance in JavaScript and how that works? Are you digging into that? Are you just confused because you're just saying, okay, array equals array, but then you change the second array and, you know, it's changing the first array and you're confused as to why that's happening, you know, things like that. Like, if you're learning JavaScript deeply, you're learning how the language in and of itself works and it's implemented in different browsers and how the basics of the inheritance and how objects and classes are set up and all that stuff. Yeah. And how variables are stored and how it juggles types and everything. So if you're heading that direction, you're going the right direction for sure. Yeah.
Wow. I got to say, I've asked a number of people this question, and for some reason, this one feels the most comforting because there's such a practicality in it. I love how you started with, get the project done, make sure it's working, but then go back and understand it a bit deeper. And each project does give us an opportunity for that. And I love how you laid out this path of all these things that are signs along the way. Are you reading the Mozilla documentation? I often say my master course wouldn't be necessary if everybody knew how to read the Mozilla documentation of JavaScript. They'd probably get, 70% there. Are you noticing intricacies of the language, how objects and class and inheritance and scoping and all of these things that are kind of different in JavaScript than in other languages, even if you have a programming background? And are you doing these and, just picking it up as you go and continuing? So folks out there, rewind that little segment, listen back, checklist in your mind, see, am I doing this, this, and this? Has this come up? And then you know. Mm-hmm. So with that said, what are some of your kind of go-to resources? You've named a number of books and courses and places, and of course documentation I'm sure is going to come up, but I want to give you a chance to suggest anything that comes to mind that you've looked at or you think might be helpful for other folks wanting to kind of follow down this path.
Okay. A big resource for me is like other languages. Just learning, old languages, or they're still used in production, like C++. I'm sure people still use that, but it is one of the original languages. That's a huge thing because I think learning by comparison is so much easier. Or being able to say, okay, JavaScript has this weird thing that it does that other languages don't do, or this is similar in this way. That was a huge resource for me. And otherwise, the Mozilla docs are great for JavaScript, DOM stuff. They're great for that. Other than that, for APIs are these mystical things to me, like web APIs. Like, I did not understand them at all. There was two books, actually. One of them was very interesting. It was a book it was web APIs for librarians. And the interesting thing was for me, because I was so mystified by the stuff, and I had been trying to understand this stuff for a while, but going to this book was great because this wasn't for programmers. This was for librarians who just wanted to, implement something for their library, like pull out some pictures from Flickr or Instagram or something, and how you would do that. So that was great to kind of pull back the curtains. If I don't understand the programmer's way of doing it, I try to find the for dummies version of whatever I'm confused about. So that helped a lot. So, and then actually after I did some API work, there is a book called from O'Reilly. It's about REST API architectures, and it breaks down the differences between REST and RPC and why or and SOAP and why you would use one over the other. And that was great to understand what this whole REST thing was anyway, and why it was such a big deal in WordPress. And so that was a good resource for that. And in general, for JavaScript, Ajax stuff, you know, the jQuery Ajax stuff helps. The jQuery docs are great as well. Those are the resources I'd recommend for sure, yeah.
Wow, I love that you're like, well, first of all, just go back and learn C, right? Let's start there so that you can realize how weird JavaScript is and why. And that's a really good point, because if you haven't learned a programming language and you learn about, or you're talking about class inheritance versus prototypal inheritance, right? Like, two very different things. So, but you don't know that really until you see two languages. So just to add to your long path of learning JavaScript deeply, I would also recommend that picking up another language. And then great recommendations on, you know, the resources, the docs, Mozilla. And I also like this point about looking at some of these tools and languages from a non-developer's perspective, because it does broaden it a bit. And this idea of, okay, if I don't understand these specs, let me back up and look at it here. And that's so helpful to those higher level understanding of how it fits along with the deep down nitty gritty. So great recommends. Folks, go do everything she tells you. I am so happy that you came on the show here today. It was really fun to meet in person, and I really hope that folks enjoy your story here. So DeepD, let me welcome you and thank you again for coming on the show here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Any final send-offs you want to send folks off with in this world of JavaScript or web development or getting out into nature?
Well, you know, a big thing here is go do the nature thing too. Sunlight's good for you guys, but you know, a big thing is you know, just stick to it. Actually, learn from Zach's Team Treehouse stuff when it first started. When I first started, it was a long time ago, and but you know, it I just stuck to it, and now I'm on Zach's show, so just stick to it, and you know, this won't happen overnight, but amazing things will happen if you keep doing it.
Hallelujah. Well put, my friend. Well put, my friend. So thanks again for coming on the show. Folks, please let me ask you to subscribe or like, depending on if you're watching us on YouTube or on iTunes. Maybe Google Play is where you're at. Thanks for listening. We encourage you to also check out javascriptwp.com/show, where you can find the show and more information about my courses and everything else, along with learning JavaScript deeply. So until next time, keep on learning and happy JavaScripting.